I'm going to jump from a tiny ledge 150 feet into a small vat filled with spikes and hydrochloric acid. And then as my main event, as the pièce de résistance, I'm going to make a sandwich with mustard and ham, or maybe pastrami, whilst looking lovingly at a kitten. Now, one's more exciting than the other, isn't it? Now, you know, I want a sandwich, and I like kittens, and I like puppies, and I like dogs and cats, but one's more exciting than the other. You know, the spikes and acid deal is more exciting than the making a sandwich thing, isn't it? So, I ask you, you probably want to put that spikes and acid deal at the end, wouldn't you? Make a sandwich first, tell us a few jokes, show us the little dog that you've got, or the little cat that you've got that's going to make us go, ah, get our emotional intelligence, our emotional link working, and then do the spikes and acid deal, because then we're thinking, oh, that person might perish, and I'm emotionally invested. So you leave that one to last, don't you? Plus, it's your big finish. It's more exciting. Now, Portland Wrestling, 21st of August, 1982. Here are the matches. Sheik Abdullah versus Tommy Rogers. Okay. Mike Miller versus Steve Pardee. Right. Hack Sawyer versus the Masked Assassin. And Buddy Rose versus Dr. D in a cage match. Now, which of those might you put at the end of your hour and a half programme? Bearing in mind that Buddy Rose and Dr. D had a very bloody match recently, had a match in, it was in a cage, and it was on a Saturday night because it was too bloody and horrible and carnage filled for TV. And this is a special thing because we've never had a cage match on Portland Wrestling on a Tuesday night when they do the show. And Buddy Rose has also said he will leave the Northwest forever if he loses. Now, just going to go through again. So there's that match. There's Sheik Abdullah versus Tommy Rogers. There's Steve Pardee versus Mike Miller. And there's Hack Sawyer versus the Masked Assassin. Which would you put? And you'd put the cage match, would you? Cage match, yeah. With the big blow off feud, yeah. You put that one at the end, yep. Yeah? Portland Wrestling don't. What they do is they put it second to last. And you know they usually have the deal of, well, it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. They put Hack Sawyer versus Masked Assassin, who I've never seen in Portland before. That's the final match. It's 2 out of 3 falls. We don't even get past the first fall because it's suddenly truncated. I'm also saying it's a logistics situation, isn't it? You're setting the cage up whilst Buddy Rose is talking, and he said, oh yeah, set the cage up, go on, yeah, yeah. And then after that match, which is the big match, got to take it all down. It's almost as if they said, just to bring you down, because you're just too excited now, and it is a very febrile crowd. I have to say, over the weeks I've been watching Portland Wrestling in 82, crowd are loving it. They're loving this feud as well. It's almost as if they said, I need to give you something to bring you down. Now, this will be a version of a tranquilizer. It will be Hack Sawyer versus the Masked Assassin. So, I don't understand. Where's the sequencing? Don't know him. Where's the sequencing? Now, Frank Bonomer, he's gone casual again. He's still got the kind of beiges, creams and browns in there, but he's got open neck shirt and the velvet jacket. Very nice, you know. I mean, I like both looks. So the first match we have is Sheik Abdullah. Now, it's not Abdullah the Butcher. I thought it was going to be. It's not. It's a bloke in a headdress, as you'd expect, with a big beard, as you might expect. And he's got the curly boots, as you would definitely expect. And last week, he was given a big introduction by Frank, who couldn't even remember what his name was, or whatever it is. And he's fighting Tommy Rogers, Tommy T.R. Rogers. Now, Frank tells us there's a nearly full house. Frank, look, mate, later on he will tell us, by the way, that they're coming in, they're still coming in. That's good, but don't tell us it's a nearly full house. Say, you know, there's not room for many more in here. It's packed out, folks. And then don't go on to say there's a few seats still available. don't, because it just sounds like it's not ideal. Now, Sheikh Abdullah has the word oil on his trunks. Now, I've seen him before. Have I seen him in Continental? I've seen him somewhere. Maybe somebody can tell me where I might have seen him before. Early on, Regal works the arm, as you might expect. By the way, not Regal, Rogers. I say Regal because Frank mentions that Steve Regal has left wrestling because he's got shoulder issues. I don't know if he comes back. I need to check this out. He also talks about an article which has Adrian Adonis and Jesse Ventura making it in the big time because they used to be in Portland Wrestling, which, by implication, is not the big time. Because they're both with WWF, aren't they? And they started in Portland. Started in Portland, but now they're doing something that's better. That's the implication. Goodness sake, Portland's not that bad. In the meantime, Tommy Rogers is still working the arm. Come on, TR. Frank tells us about a friend who's got a restaurant, and he mentions him barbecuing a buffalo. That's more exciting than the match. Honestly, it really is. Now, the Sheik almost goes coast to coast on an elbow drop. He gets up top, and Tommy Rogers doesn't seem to want to move, so he's about three quarters of the way across the mat. But I'll tell you what, Abdullah really gets that elbow drop on him. There's a "We want Tommy" chant, not from me, but from others who are there. That's fair enough. And then Rogers gets a guillotine on the bottom rope and a nice suplex. But Sheikh Abdullah, aeroplane spin, a kind of Samoan drop, and he gets the pin. They must be hothousing this gentleman. Because you built Tommy Rogers up, and, you know, he's a good-looking dude, and you can hear they built him up from the "We want Tommy" chants. So what do? You hand him a loss. Now, it could have been a DQ finish, couldn't it? Sheikh Abdullah could have been nefarious, couldn't he? He could have used some kind of object. Well, they can't do that because Buddy Rose will use one later. Oh, I should have done a spoiler alert, shouldn't I? Never mind. But he could have won in a different way, but no. He beats him clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring, thus killing any of Tommy Rogers' fire. It's weird, isn't it? The heat's gone out of it now. Here comes Dutch. Of course, Dutch used to wrestle for Portland Wrestling. I know that now because I'm reading a book called Katie Bar the Door, which is about the matches that happened in Portland Wrestling, but also gives us some background to who's coming in. It's lovely. It's really good to read, actually. For a wrestling geek like me, you know, I'm up to 1971, so I'm looking forward to getting to the 1980s. We've got Roddy Piper to come yet. Anyway, Dutch is out, doesn't seem happy at all. He's really quite cursory. Says goodnight, Willa, and then leaves. Actually, that's his wife. He always likes to say goodnight to her. And something seems to have ticked him off. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's thinking about this upcoming match, which is Mike Miller versus Steve Pardee. Oh, dear. It's a Steve Pardee headlock, a Mike Miller knee. By the way, Hack and Steve Pardee are now the tag champs. I don't know where Rocky Johnson's gone. I think I've only missed a couple of weeks. Because, you know, I can only get what's on YouTube. But that's gone quickly, hasn't it? I mean, Rocky's not been mentioned. Has he left the territory? He was trying to get the heavyweight championship. He hasn't. I mean, it's still around the waist of Rip Oliver. Anyway, back in the ring. Oh, by the way, Ric Flair's coming in September. Yeah, he'll be there. And there's Mike Miller armbar work. And then we see a picture of apparently a rabid wrestling fan who has even, you know, he loves Portland Wrestling, and his son, I think it was getting married. And they were going to have the ceremony on a Saturday, and he said, "It can't be on a Saturday because I go and watch wrestling." So they show us a picture of him because he's a rabid wrestling fan. He's sitting there completely inanimate. He's not into this match at all. He's just letting it flow by. He's not standing up. He's not booing. He's not raising his fist. He's not laughing or crying. He's doing nothing. He's just sitting there. He's a rabid wrestling fan. Well, all right then. Anyway, in the ring, we've got a slam from Mike Miller. He misses an elbow. And then Steve Pardee. It's quite interesting, this. Well, it sounds quite interesting. It's not as interesting to see. An abdominal stretch, which he segues into a cover, and he gets the pin. They fight afterwards. But, I mean, why didn't you fight better in the match? Both of you. Right, here's the army. Well, we'll talk about the army. We will. Because Buddy Rose has got the Doctor Who t-shirt on again. He did that a few weeks ago. It's not new stuff, Buddy. You need some new material, mate. They will fight in a cage tonight. He admits that he was found lacking when being beat in a cage by Dr. D, David Schultz, recently. Or Dr. J. Schultz, as he's announced later on by Don Owen. Dr. J. Strange. I don't know if that's another name for him, but... Now, back in the army chat, the cage is being put up and Rose doesn't like that. Oh, that's right, put the cage up while I'm doing my bit. It's that sort of thing. And he says, and he's doing this again, it will be a loser leaves the Northwest deal. Now, he did that a few weeks ago, didn't he? If he couldn't beat Ric Flair and win the NWA title when Flair was in Portland before, he would leave the Portland area for good. And he came back, he said it was only a 21 day or something like that. And then he came back, didn't he? And here he is. So I don't think we really trust that it's going to be a loser leaves the Northwest deal at all. And he also says that, you know, I'm really glad that you can fly because I fly where the money is. But I'm staying here. It kind of goes a bit too far. It mentioned later on, because I think Frank does a very good job in summing that up. He goes out east. I presume he's shooting. It goes out to New York, I think it said. And he's shooting TV shows out there, TV wrestling shows out there. But he has to qualify it. Frank explains it, but Buddy has to qualify it, you know. Oh, no, my home is here. Yeah, I'm so pleased that there are planes flying so I can get out of this place and do all the... and go where the money is and do all the wrestling in other places. But I like it here, though. A bit too late to say that. He also says he wants a compilation tape. This is quite good, actually. If I lose, and I won't lose, he says, but if I do, I want a compilation tape of all the people I've beat. It's a good setup for the match. He does it. I mean, Rose, I like Rose's work. He just goes a bit too far sometimes. Some of it's a bit crass, but some of it really hits home, and that really does. Simple situation of him not being too sure. And here we go. It's the cage match. Dr. J. Schultz is in, and Hack Sullivan. And Hack Sawyer. What am I talking about? Hack Sawyer and Rip Oliver are handcuffed together around a turnbuckle. So they can't do anything. We around the ring post, should I say. They can't do anything. Actually, they don't do much until right at the end of the match. So you've got Sandy Barr as the ref. When Dr. D gets in, or Dr. J, if you like, it's just another letter, isn't it, really? He really goes for Dr. D, and he has to be pushed back to the other corner by Sandy Barr. It's good work, you know. Really nice. He's talking, Frank, about shooting through the cage, I think. And he says, looks good to me. Let me get a close-up. Close-up looks a bit fuzzy. Don't tell us that. Don't tell us it's not full. And don't tell us the picture isn't that good. Please don't. Although I suppose Portland's doing so well and the fans are loving it so much. I suppose you can be honest. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. Anyway, early on, we get some Rose prevarication. The crowd are right into this, which is why it should have been the main event, shouldn't it? He tries to get out early on, does Rose. Dr. D grabs his trunks. There is a full moon over Portland, as Frank tells us, quite right. Dr. D puts him down. Then Frank wants to talk about the cage. He thinks it's called Hurricane Vince. Maybe he's talking about a different kind of Vince, but he's then told it's called Cyclone Fencing. Well, he's close. He's really close. And, you know, this is the first cage match on the TV show for Portland ever. And he says, I can't remember there being one. And of course, he's been the announcer since the 70s. So, or late 60s, actually. So, you know, he's an authority on it. Now, in the cage and in the ring, Dr. D rakes the face on the cage. There's blood. Sandy Barr upbraids him for that, but it's no DQ. So you can do what you like, can't you? He's bleeding now, Buddy Rose. There's a pile driver from Dr. D and a cover. Rose gets his foot on the ropes. Rose then comes back with some punches. Now he's opened up Dr. D. Double axe handle off the second rope is nice. Crowd are really going for this now. And then we've got Rose really launching Dr. D into the cage. So much so he loses his footing and has to lean against the ropes. Really good, actually. Dr. D comes back with a low blow because it's no DQ. You can do what you like. Stomps, fakes him off the top. So he kind of goes for a move, does Rose, and then stomps him, or smacks him, should I say. There are big shots as Rose is behind between the ropes and the cage. And then Oliver throws something in Sawyer's face, so he can't do anything. Hands Buddy some brass knucks. There's a punch to Dr. D, and that will be your pin. And at this point, I'm thinking, there's quite a lot of the programme still to go. Are we going to have a long interview segment? Because that would be appropriate, seeing as it is the main event. Yeah. Now, there are afters with Rip Oliver and Hack comes in to help him. Dr. D then gets the brass knucks, and then he's interviewed by Frank, and he's sick of it. Says he was double teamed, he wants them both of them in a cage with him and Hack, and the winner will get a shot at the NWA title. Now, hang on a minute. I mean, Don Owen comes out and says he won't do a cage match to general boos, but then when he was gone, Frank tells us that there's a cage match between them all on Tuesday. Did I miss something? I can't quite work. There's a lot of people talking, but usually I can pick things up. You know, I mean, I've watched Shakespeare plays and things. There's quite a lot of plot in that. You know, Agatha Christie doesn't faze me. Anyway, there's no talk of the winner getting a shot at the NWA belt. I mean, I think probably they'd agreed that there'll be a cage match, but I think Dr. D might have thrown that one in. The winner will get to become King of England. I can't really offer that. And we can't offer the NWA thing because, as I know very well from books I've read recently, including Chokehold, which is a great book, the NWA, they had to all agree, didn't they? So, you know. So we'll have a match on Tuesday. And that's it. That's a great way to end the... No, hang on a minute. It's Hack Sawyer versus the Masked Assassin. Best two out of three. As I said before, I have never seen the Masked Assassin in Portland Wrestling before. It's not as if he's a returning success or anything like that. It's Hack Sawyer, who people do like in Portland. Yes, they do, but it's not the main event. I mean, the Assassin is on Sawyer early. It's an armbar and a knee. He works the armbar, funnily enough. There's a Sawyer dropkick, which is a bit close to the Assassin. He really clattered him with it. Then some fast blows from the Assassin and a DQ. I don't know why. I think he was told to stop. Stop wrestling. Stop wrestling now. It may be legal, but stop wrestling. You won't stop wrestling. There's a DQ. I think it might have been that. I don't know. And we have time for a little bit of a chat with Hack. After Frank tells us about Paul Ellering's coming, he shows us a picture of him. Thinks he looks a bit like Jesse Ventura. And there you go. That's the end of it. That's the end of the first. The first fall. It's two out of three, isn't it? So we are going to get back in the ring, and all we get time for is a suplex from the Masked Assassin, and the match is suddenly over. I don't know who won. Is it another DQ? I think it is. I'm not sure. As I say, I don't think I missed anything. I don't think they run out of time. I think it is a DQ. I don't know why. Or the match just ends. And he says, well, Sawyer won it because he was already one up. I don't know. There's a brief interview with Sawyer and that's it. No, we could have had a cage match with blood and sweat and tears and brass knucks, and Dr. D talking about wanting a shot at the NWA title and wanting another cage match and the crowd going crazy. Instead, you got that sorbet. I mean, it cleanses your palate, but for what? Oh, I don't know. Still, I did enjoy it because it's great to watch. And I'm really interested in Portland wrestling at this period, which is why I bought the book, KT Bar the Door. I spent my own money. And usually people send me books. And I bought this one. Blimey, I must like it. And I do. And I'll be watching it later on. Because Portland wrestling is blooming fabulous. And let me tell you what else is fabulous. Oh, yes. Patreon.com, SNME Radio. Podcasts of a pop culture type, of a wrestling type, including this one. If you want a bit more of it, why you would, I don't know. But it's about $1 a month if you feel like you'd like to pay for really good quality podcasts. My colleagues at SNME are fabulous, and they're all there. Have a listen. You will love it. I'm sure you will. And I love Portland Wrestling. I'm so glad to be doing it. And when this 82 is over, I might have to move on somewhere else. A bit like Buddy Rose would have done if he'd lost. But he won. Not in the main event, though. Oh, don't get me started. Ta-ta.